Our next speaker is Paul Withers from the UK, and I'm so grateful that he was able to come down. We exchanged a couple of emails. Wasn't sure if he's going to make it earlier, it looked like. But I'm glad he's here, and he's going to give us UK perspective on septic systems.
Okay, thanks. Good. Good morning, everybody. It is very, very nice to be here. Beautiful sunshine in San Antonio. Who could ask for more? Okay, I wanted to give a bit of an overview of some of the evidence that we've been trying to gather in the UK and in Ireland on the effect of septic tank systems on water quality. Septic tanks are just one of a number of sources of nutrients and other contaminants entering streams. And the concern in the UK has been related to eutrophication. So we're particularly concerned with nutrient inputs. And of course, when you look at source apportionment in catchments, it's all based on loads. So in many of our catchment areas, septic tank systems are more or less totally ignored. It's assumed that these systems are fairly isolated, they're dispersed within the catchment, and the contribution to the load is actually very, very small. If you take them all together in some catchments, as Gopal suggested, it may increase in terms of percentage contribution. But largely in the UK and Ireland, they're largely ignored. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case, because can you have something which contributes a small load but still actually impacts on stream nutrient concentrations, particularly in headwater areas where the amount of dilution that you have can be relatively small, especially during the summer period, which is the ecologically sensitive period. And that's basically the rationale as to why we're getting a little bit more concerned about septic tank systems in the UK and Ireland. In the UK, we do have some extreme examples of what happened years ago. Some people still like the open-air experience. But in most cases, and that's an actual photo taken in a catchment. So, but most of us, as Gopal has outlined, rely on a two-chamber system with a drain field to process the nutrients through the system. It's been estimated there are about 2 million septic tank systems in the UK and Ireland, and many of those are sited close to streams, so they are a potential concern. And we all know when things can go wrong with septic tanks. I think everybody agrees that when they're working properly, they're absolutely great, but things do go wrong through either poor design, they're incorrectly sited, or they're managed very poorly. And either of those three things contribute to reduced processing, increased surface runoff, and potential problems in the water course. And the picture there just gives an example of one particular case, and you can see an algal bloom, the small algal bloom, in the bottom there. So what about the impacts on water quality? They're quite difficult to actually spot. This is a typical rural scene with groups of houses dotted about. The septic tanks are hidden. You wouldn't know there's a problem. You really have to delve quite deeply into the nitty-gritty of the catchment, if you like, doing the catchment walks to find out potential issues. So this is an example of a direct discharge from drainage pipes into the stream, and here you have a sewage fungus in the stream there, which more or less gives the game away. And I think certainly in the UK we have a lot of historic systems where actually the septic tank effluent is discharged directly into the stream. And there was one catchment where 80% of the systems discharged directly into the streams. The other evidence we have, again, comes from catchment walks. This is a ditch which is choked with macrophytes because there's a village hall which has a septic tank system, and every time it rains, it overflows. So we've been monitoring this ditch for some time, and we're using boron. Boron is a potential tracer. It's a constituent of detergents. So we're using boron as a potential marker for septic tank effluent, and we get quite strong correlations between, in this case, soluble reactive phosphorus and boron in the ditch with quite high concentrations. And it's not only the ditch. If you go around our rural catchments, you can find examples of mixtures where road runoff or farmyard runoff has been mixed with septic tank effluent, and so you get various degrees of mixing and dilution. So again, it's quite a complex system. But boron has been quite useful, and we've looked at the relationships between soluble reactive phosphorus and boron with flow. This is an example of a chalk headwater catchment in England. Isolated rural dwellings, typically along the river corridor. And when we monitor the stream, we can find evidence of both of initial dilution associated with typical point sources in the stream, but then during storm runoff or storm flow conditions, we gradually get the groundwater levels rising, and we get mobilization of phosphorus and boron because the groundwater is rising up through the septic tank drain fields and getting into the stream. It's not only storm-dependent transfers which we see. We also see storm-independent transfers. So when it's not raining at all, we still get very high concentrations of different contaminants entering the stream. This is an example of some work that's done in Ireland by Phil Jordan. And this is a period running from the beginning of March. So we're coming out of the winter. It's not raining. The crops are starting to develop soil moisture deficits in the soil. And so we have a situation of base flow decreasing during that period. But what we see is that the total P and the total reactive P concentrations in the stream actually go up. So this is, I think, quite clear evidence that we're getting a direct input of phosphorus, which is not associated with land runoff due to storm events. And we've also been looking at an English village which basically relies on septic tank systems. Any village is quite representative of the UK situation. I suppose the one thing that is atypical is that we do have a visitor centre associated with the farm. But we started to monitor three different stations here. So Whitehorse Creek was a direct discharge. So that's just going straight into the stream. We had a ditch site. And again, here we monitored upstream and downstream of a clutch of houses that were present along this ditch. And then further north in the catchment, we had a stream site where the flow was a little bit greater. And again, we monitored upstream and downstream of a clutch of houses which are on septic tank systems. And I'd just like to go through each of these sites in terms of the relationships we found. So this is looking at the relationship between soluble reactive phosphorus over the years monitoring that we did at these sites. In relation to flow, and we can see, just as Gopal mentioned in his talk, concentrations of up to 10 milligrams per litre of soluble reactive phosphorus. But there's a clear relationship with flow here. If we have a look at the range in concentrations that we measured, it wasn't just soluble reactive phosphorus, of course. We had very high ammonium N concentrations, sodium and boron that we find in detergents, sulfate, and manganese, indicative of reducing conditions. So all of these concentrations were typical of what you would get from a septic tank effluent. And if we have a look at the relationship with flow, we can see a very typical dilution as flow increases, which is typical of a point source. So that's the direct discharge. If we have a look at the village east site, so this is upstream and downstream. Again, I've picked out ammonium, but I could easily have picked out any of the other contaminants. And we can see that the concentrations are always greater downstream than they are upstream. If we have a look at the range in concentration, these are the average concentrations upstream and downstream, and we can see that all of the potential contaminants or nutrients that we found that were typical of the direct discharge were actually increased downstream of the houses. And again, if we have a look at the relationship with flow, we can see that most of the high concentrations were associated with low flow conditions. So it's again typical of a point source impact, even though this was a ditch system with water flowing. And in the village north site, we've got a slightly different pattern. There were much fewer occasions when the nutrient concentrations were increased downstream, but certainly for phosphate and ammonium N, the increases were still highly significant downstream of the houses. And again, all of the high concentrations were associated with low flow conditions. But the one of the interesting things was that all the potential contaminants were very highly correlated to one another. So on the left, if we have a look at the relationship between ammonium nitrogen and soluble reactive phosphorus, all the three sites, whether it's direct discharge or whether it's downstream of the houses, all were on a single line. And if we have a look at the relationship between SRP and sodium, again, we get very strong intercorrelations. They don't all fall on the same line because SRP is clearly being taken up in the ditch and the stream sites. So we have a very high degree of nutrient intercorrelation. There was absolutely no correlation upstream of the houses. So we're pretty convinced that the septic tank systems of these houses were impacting on the stream, and a combination of both direct discharges and septic tank system failure or drain field failure on the heavy soils within the catchment. We've also got a little bit of evidence from another catchment in southern England, the River Chew, and this is data for a catchment with about 500 houses, a school, a couple of pubs, and this is the range in orthophosphate concentrations that's measured, been measured since 1990 in this catchment. It was then decided in 2004, because of other issues, that they would convert the septic tanks into a first-time sewage scheme. So they turned off the septic tanks, they connected all the houses and all the pubs and the school onto the main sewage system, but they could obviously continue to monitor the phosphorus concentrations in the stream. And there was quite a consistent reduction in orthophosphate concentrations in the stream when they did that. There were a couple of occasions when a couple of spikes at the end there, which may be due to the sort of disused septic tank systems. But when you have a look at the average SRP concentrations, they fell from around 250 micrograms per litre to 86 micrograms per litre after the scheme was introduced. So again, we've got quite damning evidence, I think, that septic tank systems in our rural catchments in England are potentially causing a problem. And I haven't got time today, but there are other examples. In Ireland, they've been trying to upgrade septic tank systems. They've been surveying the septic tank systems and they've been upgrading them and having a look at the potential impact. And there's no doubt that the in-stream low-flow concentrations do appear to be quite sensitive to how many septic tank systems are in the catchment. So, in summary, are septic tank systems a water quality problem, even though they may not contribute a large proportion of the total load in a catchment? And we think there's mounting evidence to suggest that they can be a problem. The common thing, whichever catchment you go to, certainly in UK and Ireland, is that system failure seems to be quite widespread for one reason or another. Septic tank system discharges can occur under both low flow and high flow conditions. They do impact on stream nutrient concentrations, especially under low flow. Catchments with a high density of septic tank systems appear to be the most vulnerable, as you would expect. And removing of septic tank systems does appear to improve water quality in the few cases where we have some sort of evidence. One thing that we haven't talked about is the actual ecological impacts. It's very, very difficult, even if you reduce nutrient concentrations in streams, it's very, very difficult to actually relate that reduction to an ecological improvement. But the one thing about septic tank systems and the effluent that they produce is that the phosphorus is highly bioavailable, and so we would expect to get some effect. The other interesting thing from our village work was that we found quite high nitrite concentrations in the river. And nitrite can be toxic to fish at quite low concentrations. So, and of course, what else is going into the system in terms of trace organics? And could that be a reason that even if we have nutrient reduction programs in our catchments, we're not seeing any direct ecological improvement because there's some other contaminant which we're not actually measuring, which is going into the system in something that we're basically ignoring. So I think it just really, certainly in the UK and Ireland, we need to better understand the processing of nutrients within our systems and try and improve the efficiency of the system so that we don't get this sort of chronic leakage that we're currently getting during mostly during a period of ecological sensitivity under low flow conditions in the summer. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, David. Paul, I wanted to ask you a question. I thought it was interesting. I heard this one before at a phosphorus conference in Denmark that there are many loans in England and Ireland that would be what we would call a straight pipe system where it goes directly from the septic tank to the stream, and they attributed it.
That's right.
Right. So I'm wondering, you know, how applicable is this to, you know, sprawl in the U.S.? Do you have any tracer or some way to distinguish whether contaminants are coming from direct discharge to the stream or they're coming in base flow groundwater recharge?
We've certainly not worked on any tracers. I mean, I think the one tracer that might give you some indication is oxygen 18, but we haven't worked with that. But that's the usual one that gives you some indication of groundwater input. But as I say, we haven't worked on it.
What do you think most of it is the direct discharge?
In the UK, I think there's no question that because of the age of a lot of the systems, it's direct discharge. There are a small number of areas where we are getting a little bit concerned about movement of contaminants to groundwater. particularly phosphorus, and septic tank systems have been implicated in that. And those are parent materials where you have fissuring through the subsoil, so chalk parent materials, for example, or the cast limestone, where you're getting sort of straight movement down into the groundwater. But I think the majority of concern in our catchments is related to surface water or direct discharge getting into the surface streams.
Go ahead, Ted.
I have actually three questions. You were talking about failures, and I was wondering, how do you define failures? Do you have certain parameters for defining failures? The second question is, how many of the systems in the villages you studied had systems that were failing? The third question is, what was the density of septic systems in the villages?
The third question was?
The density of the septic systems in the villages.
In the villages.
Yeah.
Just take the first two questions. We didn't look at how good the septic tank systems were. It's a little bit political in the UK. People get upset when you knock on their door and ask to have a look at their septic tank system. And in this particular village, it was sufficiently sensitive that we were not allowed to actually go and knock on people's doors. But there has been some work in Ireland looking at a risk assessment system for scoring septic tanks according to their efficiency. And there's a number of different factors involved in that in terms of age, design, proximity to the watercourse, soil type, impermeability of the soil type. There's a whole number of different risk factors that you can score septic tank systems on in terms of their potential efficiency. Sorry, what was the third question again? Lost there.
On that risk assessment, system, the criteria for that question. So, do you give numbers?
No. Oh, the density. In Ireland, the density is pretty high. It's something like 15 to 20 septic tank systems per square kilometre. In our situation, there's much. It's much lower. It's about 3.
Quick question: the centralized system that you talked about, how was that financed? Was it did the local residents that paid for the implementation of that when they moved away from on-site systems?
No, it was the water company.
So they didn't have to pay anything then?
No, it was the water company. And water companies are taking much more responsibility now for catchment management in the UK. There's been a huge change this year. Certainly where they're producing potable water, water companies now have a legal requirement to implement changes in catchments that will reduce potential contaminant inputs into the water, which is good.
Okay.
Thank you.